Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
What is a club in any case? Not the buildings or the directors or the people who are paid to represent it. It's not the television contracts, get out clauses, marketing departments or executive boxes. It's the noise, the passion, the feeling of belonging, the pride in your city. It's a small boy clambering up stadium steps for the very first time, gripping his father's hand, gawping at that hallowed stretch of turf beneath him, and, without being able to do a thing about it, falling in love. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Very nice. That wasn't a quote by you.
It wasn't.
Make that clear.
That was the wonderful Sir Bobby Robson. That quote's been doing the rounds recently, obviously, in the last few days. And I just thought it was appropriate to read it out today in our very small window of getting stuff out there to people and being heard. I thought it was an appropriate quote for today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he was around still and he was seeing all this going on, he'd be so hurt and disgusted by what has been happening in football and, well, across Europe over the last few days. Honestly, it's made me sick, it's made me upset, it's made me angry. Like, the emotions that I've gone through over the last few days, it's been a proper roller coaster, and I haven't been able to take my eyes off Sky Sports News because it feels like everybody in football has had their say on it. It all started with Gary Neville's rant, didn't it? Basically on it was Burnley v Man United, wasn't it, on TV? And Gary Neville just said, I'm not interested in this match anymore. And I think as soon as he started talking about that, that was it. I wasn't bothered about the football whatsoever. I mean, we're talking about FPL today. I've got to be honest, I haven't thought about my FPL team for the last few days whatsoever. Not been bothered about it at all, just because all I've been able to think about is this greed and this, I don't know, ruining of football over the past few days. So forgive me if I'm not so on the ball. And also please forgive me because I woke up 10 minutes ago. So it might not be the freshest of podcasts.
No, it's absolutely fine. And I think, you know, that at the end of the day, we speak about FPL, but also, like, we want to chat to each other as mates about what's been going on in football. And it would feel weird not to speak about that and not to speak about the feelings that we've all, like every single football fan that's worth their salt, has gone through in the last few days. It's definitely worth addressing. We are Triple Captain, by the way. We're an FPL podcast first and foremost, but we're probably going to be talking a little bit more about the wider game today as well. We're at Triple Captain 3 on socials. I'm Luke Jurdy, and the voice you heard just before was my co-host Rich Wolfenden, TalkSport commentator, all-round bad man.
Yeah, and tonight I am doing the Manchester City game against Aston Villa. So, my God, I am going to be biased to Aston Villa so much tonight. It's going to be ridiculous.
Everyone is supporting Aston Villa tonight.
Yeah, and I've got Paul Parker on co-commentary with me, former Man United
defender.
So, obviously, he's going to have a strong opinion on this as well. And I think his nephew, Ben Johnson, plays for West Ham. So he's got family within football still as well. So it'll be interesting to take his opinion on it all. But my God, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all that you can talk about.
Yeah, it all has a knock-on effect, doesn't it? Like, I was just saying to Ben before we started recording, it was like, I was literally saying yesterday, I won't be watching football anymore. Like, I wouldn't be able to support United anymore because that's, what's the point? There's just no point in supporting a club who are going to do that to the game. So therefore, my interest in football wanes massively. And then there's nothing to play for. So what's the point? I certainly won't be bothering with FPL anymore. And really, it's like, well, okay, cool. I'll have a lot more free time. You know, I've invested so much time. But that's the thing though, isn't it, with football fans? We've invested so much time into this game. We've put the money in. millions of people subscribe to Sky Sports, millions of people subscribe to BT Sport, who you got to pay more now for Champions League football because there's a new, because then there's a new channel coming in with BT Sport. And yet these clubs are still aren't happy and they still want more money. It's absolutely disgusting. It's outrageous. And I'm so glad that English people and English fans, you know, and or people living in England that support English clubs have all come together to oppose this. And it's obviously had an effect. They've all pulled out now. All six clubs have now pulled out. And those, you know, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher have said it already, haven't they? You know, and they can say it. They can say it a lot better than we can. But it's just, it's just echoing that sentiment of, I mean, I can't remember there ever being something like this where not a single person was for it, not a single fan, or anybody associated with the game. And normally these pundits don't get involved, do they? Really?
No, no.
I mean, but they've all weighed in, and suddenly it's like even Sky Sports just going, "Yeah, we've done it. We've done it. They're not going to do it anymore."
Yeah,
you know.
I think the key moment for me was when the players started to mention it.
Yeah.
When Milner came out and started and said, "I don't want to join it." You know, he's Liverpool's vice captain. And then Henderson came out and said, "Me and all the other Premier League captains, we're going to get together and discuss this. We don't want to join it." So that was like that was a key moment, because when players are talking about the clubs that are paying them and the managers are talking about the clubs that are paying them, that's when you know it's super serious. I mean, I've only just woken up, and I went to bed last night literally as you know, the dominoes started to fall. Have all the teams around Europe pulled out of it now?
No, it's only the English clubs have pulled out.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's still Real, Barcelona,
Atletico, Juventus, Milan. Yeah. So they've come out and said something along the lines of, "We're going to like look at it again and see if it will work in a different way," or something like that. I mean, it's just never gonna happen now. You've got six clubs there. You've got six clubs left. Like, how are you going to do that? All right, Real Madrid and Barcelona, fuck off then. No one wants you here anyway. Like, that's all good. You make your own Super League with six clubs if you want. No one will watch it. Like, it's just not, it's not going to happen.
Those, like, pre-season tournaments where it's, like, the Australia Cup, the Asia Cup, the Premier League Cup, that sort of thing that happens pre-season. That's basically what it's going to be. But who's asked about that in the slightest? I think Pep Guardiola put it best where he said, "Sport isn't sport when, you know, there's, like, no reward," or something like that. Like, then there's no...
no competition is what all the City players were saying. Yeah, if there's no competition, then it isn't a sport. And I thought that was actually very well placed from Pep, actually.
Basically, it becomes theatre, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It comes closer to what you're doing, Luke. It comes closer to your career than an actual, you know, sporting event.
Yeah, I mean, where anything can happen. You're absolutely right. Theatre is mapped out, it's rehearsed, you know. You make it look spontaneous, and that's part of the fun of theatre and acting, you know, live entertainment. But yeah, with football, it can go any which way. That's what's exciting, you know.
That's the thing. Like, you know, like West Brom the other week smashing Chelsea.
Yeah.
Nobody could have seen that at all. I loved it as well when Leeds scored that goal against Liverpool. I mean, I would have loved it anyway, but I especially loved it this week. Brighton as well yesterday, getting a draw against Chelsea. You know, it's good. And if Villa beat Man City tonight, it'd be brilliant. And then Everton play Arsenal on Friday. Oh my God, I'm going to be so up for a smashing Arsenal. Just please just beat Arsenal, Everton. Please,
absolutely.
God.
But is it, you know, what we've got to, it looks like, obviously we don't know for certain, but it looks like it's not the players. It looks like the players were very ill-informed.
All the managers.
All the managers. I mean, you know, massive respect to Jurgen Klopp for coming out and saying that his opinions hadn't changed and that he doesn't think it's a good idea. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, by the way, hasn't said anything, which is very, very... Did he say anything again in the Burnley build-up? Not
that I've seen. Have you seen that all the clubs, in terms of their statements this morning, saying, oh, we're pulling out, Arsenal are the only ones who've actually apologised for it. Man United have basically put out a tweet like when your girlfriend's cross at you, being like, oh, well, we're not doing it anymore.
I think
Solskjaer needs to be a bit stronger.
Yeah, it's a disgrace. But he's their puppet, and he's fearful of his job, as he has been since the start of being a manager. You know, and don't get me wrong, I love Ole Solskjaer for what he done for the club in the past as a player. And obviously we're doing pretty well and he's doing okay as a manager, not as well as he should be, but he's doing okay as a manager. But grab your bollocks and say something. Mm. I mean, Jesus Christ, you're relying on Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire and Marcus Rashford. Of course, Marcus Rashford, the saint of all saints, has come out and said something, you know. Well, you're going to rely on them. Like, what is wrong with you? I think the good thing about this is it's not the players. I mean, this is, I kind of desperately cling on to the fact that I want to remain a United fan. That's probably going to rely on the Glazers need to leave the club ASAP. And you kind of think, well, if this was their plan all along, these Americans, my God, they haven't got a clue about English sport. I'm sorry, but they haven't. Mm. Like, that's not me being xenophobic. This is Americans who want to make English sport like the American franchise sport, NBA, NFL. And that's why it's a closed shop there. And it's just in America. And they have these stupid drafts. And it's all this absolute rubbish that they do in their sport. We're not interested in it. That's why only Americans are interested in it. You know, I know some people are interested in NBA and the Michael Jordan documentary was great, blah, blah, blah. It's nothing compared to football.
No, it's just a completely different setup. I mean, you look back at the history of like these clubs and where they started from, like literally like small, like Burnley, like tiny little working class mining town in Lancashire. All right, there's different kind of backgrounds, but you know, Sheffield United, like Notts County, those like four sorts of football teams came from literally tiny, tiny communities that they needed something to do on a weekend. I've got an old book called The Ball Is Round. It's literally like a 1,500 page book on the history of football. And I've been I haven't finished it because it's 1,500 pages. I can't finish a 300 page book, never mind 1,500.
Has it got any pictures?
It's got no pictures. It's got some. It's got some colouring in pages though, so you know, do that in this bit of time.
Yeah, but Rich, Burnley, they're owned by a former Wall Street financier. This has been coming for a long time and football's not in a good spot anyway, even without this Super League. Football's in probably the worst spot it's ever been in terms of owners coming in and just treating clubs purely as a financial, you know.
Yeah, it's become toy. Fashionable though, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's become fashionable to have a millionaire owner. Like Everton have got one as well. I mean, he was on Talksport yesterday saying to Jim White, who I just cannot despise, cannot stand. Sorry, saying, oh yeah, if we were asked, we wouldn't join. I was like, would you fuck if you were offered an extra £300 million per season of revenue to give an advantage over everybody else? You wouldn't just turn it down right there and then and hold your ground and whatever. I mean, actually, you've got to say fair play to PSG, bizarrely, who have got the moral high ground out of all these teams, and Bayern Munich as well, who are standing strong as well.
Yeah, well, PSG don't need the money, don't need the extra money.
No.
So therefore, it's an easy decision to say no. And Bayern Munich, there's fan ownership, isn't there, in the Bundesliga? So, they could. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank God. I mean, City still joined and they don't need the money. It's just,
it's so depressing.
So depressing.
It's so depressing.
But, hopefully this brings about, a real change. I mean, Gary Neville is star of the show, isn't he, at the moment? The way he's putting across his points and what he's saying, this hopefully starts a bit of a revolution within football, and there needs to be structural change, at the very highest level. Get 51% fan ownership, and the other, fans decide how to run the club. You know, we've all got brilliant supporters groups, really intelligent people who run, the fan supporters groups. That's what football is. That's what football is. It's for fans, because it wouldn't exist without it.
I'm
cynical though. In terms of like Gary Neville, I think Gary Neville's absolutely come out and he's been brilliant this week. I am a bit sceptical. I mean, did they have a TV rights deal sorted for this? Because if it had been Sky Sports, I bet you Gary Neville would have been cut off.
There was nothing came out. I think Amazon came out and said there's nothing to do with them.
No.
I didn't hear anything from BT and... I've been watching the Sky Sports and they've been very, against the Super League. So presumably they've not been involved, but I don't know. Maybe there just wasn't a TV rights package sorted at this point. I'm not sure.
No, I think all that's happened is there's been like a few billion put up by JP Morgan, the American banking company. Because I think Graham Souness was on about it yesterday. He's like, well, what are they going to do with this billion? Like, if it's already been, these billions, if it's already been put up, like, what happens to that money now? I think it's going to be an absolute mess because, you know, the fact that they announced it all, it's like, well, they've obviously agreed. Like, I can't imagine that was just a verbal agreement. They've probably,
no,
they've
it must all, be written down.
They must all have signed something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, either way, there's going to be serious financial repercussions for these signs. What was it, $3 billion or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Put aside by JP Morgan.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, they've pulled out of it now, and £3 billion of JP Morgan's been dedicated to this project, and now it's not happening. They're going to be thinking, oh my God, we've made a serious investment here, and in the blink of an eye, it has turned. Like, JP Morgan, like, they don't care about, you know, their image and that sort of thing. They'll finance, you know, fucking Darth Vader and his Death Star and that sort of thing. Like, but the financial repercussions, like, there's going to be a lot going on now, and over the next week or so, like, this story is just going to evolve and evolve and evolve. I mean, Manchester City going to pick up the Premier League title probably in a few weeks time. Like,
well, are they though? Because you, Rich, you were quite strong on Twitter saying that they should all be docked points. Is the top four going to be Leicester, West Ham, Everton and Leeds?
I don't think they're doing it in this season, but I honestly think they should be deducted points. I mean, you can give them fines and whatever, but, you know, if they get... The Premier League aren't going to go, right, we're going to fine you £20 million. The Premier League per club. That's never, ever going to happen. The only real way you can hurt these teams is by deducting them points, and then they'll all start next season on minus 20 or something like that.
That would
and if
be,
they're really that,
would
that
be,
great,
yeah.
If they're really that great, they can claw it back and get back into the European places. If they can't, they then don't get the commercial financial benefits of being in European the European places, and they get less reward for finishing high up in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So that is a real financial hit, and it'll ruin one of their seasons. And presumably, you know, they won't be able to sign players because they're not playing in Europe.
I mean, I can't see that happening. I completely agree with you and would be fully behind it
if it does.
But I just can't see it. I can't see that happening. And also, we've got to keep an eye out on this new Champions League structure, because the Swiss model that was being proposed behind the scenes is very similar to the European Super League, in that there'll be 36 teams in the Champions League, 24 of them automatically qualify for the Champions League every season. And this is to appease the owners of these clubs that are going, well, it's not financially fair anymore, it's not, we're the biggest clubs, we should be in the champ, you know, blah, 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 we need change. It's not our fault Real Madrid and Barcelona have run themselves into the ground with millions of pounds of debt. It's not the coronavirus pandemic's fault, you know. You need to sort your business out. But this is what we need to keep an eye on in the next few days. I think what's good is that the English teams have just withdrawn within the first few days. That would suggest that there's not work going on behind the scenes with UEFA saying, look, we'll appease you by changing the Champions League to this structure. The Champions League is that they're talking about it becoming 36 teams. I think that's almost set in stone. But the worrying thing is if we've got 24 of those teams that automatically qualify each year. I mean, the fact that Spurs were even in there.
Yeah, that's a joke.
They're useless. They haven't won a trophy since 1960.
No.
Oh, sorry, Arsenal, they won the League Cup, didn't they, in 2001?
Yeah, they won the League Cup.
But my
God.
They won
one trophy in 50 years. That's what it was.
How can they be part of this European Super League? I mean, just absolutely insane.
Pure, pure cash. Arsenal as well. They're, what, 10th?
Yeah.
10th in the Premier League.
Arsenal.
They can't even scrape past Fulham, who are in the relegation zone.
No, exactly.
It's mental.
Like, yeah, I think... Yeah, I think
should we talk about FPL.
Yeah.
Tell you what, the thing that I love most about this podcast is that, Rich, you woke up 20 minutes ago, and Luke, you're getting so passionate about this while sitting in your dining room in your dressing gown. I love that.
I always reserve the dressing gown for special podcasts, special occasions.
Oh man, mate.
So, yeah. I mean, we could talk about it for hours, and everybody else is doing the talking for us as well. But I think it's, you know, we just wanted to talk to each other about it, didn't we, as well, more than anything.
Yeah.
It's just, it's that shared, that's what football is. It's that shared experience, isn't it? And the way that we chat about it, you know.
Exactly.
Well, I like the idea. Never mind.
Yeah.
anyway.
Let's talk about FPL. What are we going to talk about today then? Anyway, I mean, we've been rambling for about 20 minutes or so.
Spurs. Anyway. I'm going to talk about Spurs and will they get a bit of a boost by the fact that Jose's gone? Will they play more attacking football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, navigating the next blank game week and all the potential injuries that have come to light over the last few weeks, which obviously, you know, is bound to happen. All of these clubs, most of these clubs have been playing twice a week since the very start of the season. I think this is the first week where United will have a midweek off. Like players like Rashford and Bruno just absolutely burnt out. I think there's a reason that Bruno's numbers have tailed off over the last few weeks or whatever. It's because he's just overplaying. He plays, Ollie plays him every single game. He started him against Granada when we were already 2-0 up. I mean, that's the lack of trust that he has in Van de Beek. It's like he needs a rest. Like, why can't you see that? And that's the problem with Ole's management. But anyway, so obviously, so far this week we're recording on a Wednesday morning. So there's still a few fixtures left of this game week. But obviously, we've got such a quick turnaround. We thought we'd get the pod in. So there's still Spurs v Southampton. There's still Man City versus Villa, and there's still Leicester versus West Brom to come. How are we doing so far this week, and what's your rank currently, Rich, and do you expect a green or a red at the end of the week?
Well, I've still got 5 more players to play, which is good. 3 of those are Tottenham players, and then I've got Edison and Forster to play. I used my bench boost this week. I've used all my chips now. They've all gone out the window. I'm there. I'm climbing the ladder as fast as I can as the season approaches. At the moment, I'm sat on 57, and I brought in Son, and I brought in Reguilon of Tottenham, who gave away a penalty against Everton in the first game of the weekend. So that was an absolutely brilliant start. But yeah, I'm on 57 at the moment. I'm currently sat 580k. So over the last few weeks, I think I've gone up about 400,000 places, something like that. Because I was on the edge of dropping out the top million. So I've retraced my steps and I've gone back up the table, which is quite nice. So maybe the top 500k could be on for the end of the season, and I'll be quite happy with that, to be honest. But yeah, people who delivered this week, Golonzo, he was in. What an absolute hero. 0-0. Soufal got an assist for West Ham. Lingard scoring again and getting bonus for West Ham. Why is Jota on 3? They get a clean sheet.
Yeah, it was a clean sheet when he went off.
Ah, was it? Okay,
so he was subbed off when they were still 1-0 up, so he got his clean sheet point, yeah.
Ah, right, okay. And then the majority of my points came from Harry Kane being captain, a big 24. And please tell me you two both captained Harry Kane.
Yes, yeah. But how mad this week that even if you captained Harry Kane, if he scores points, you still lose points overall, because many people have triple captained him. The effective ownership was 216%. So it's because of all the triple captains on him. So obviously when he scored, it's like good in one respect, but actually it would be better for us in terms of our overall rank. It would be better for us if he blanked and we captained him because of all the triple captains. Like, absolutely crazy. I don't know if that's ever happened before in FPL. I don't think I've ever captained a player where and I'll lose points if he scores. That's how popular Kane is, and that's how far out there he is ahead of everybody else at the moment, isn't he, in terms of his goal scoring?
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, that game was so frustrating as well, because we were great. We should have beaten Tottenham. We've already beaten them twice this season.
Yeah.
And I did not expect Jose Mourinho to leave Tottenham at all. It must have been to do with the whole Super League thing. Anyway, but let's not tread in that water again. Let's deflect away from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tottenham weren't great against us at all. Their goals came just because Keane, Mina and Holgate, I don't know what the hell they've been doing the night before, but they were not with it whatsoever. Just misjudging the ball. I think, was it Holgate headed the back of Michael Keane or something like that? And obviously with it being Everton, the ball just ricochets into the path of one of the most prolific strikers in the world. And he smashes it into the back of the net. So, whatever. I mean, 3 games against Tottenham this season. Beat them twice, drew them once. I would take that any season. So, yeah. And that's pretty much how I went. And like I said, got 5 more players to play. West Ham. I couldn't believe that they lost to Newcastle with the most comical goals as well. I mean, Fabianski dropped one. That's a clanger. But the Diop own goal was absolutely superb. It's just like it's one of them. Do you know where you used to get the videos when you were a kid of like own goals and gaffes, where it'd be like old football mistakes? Like that would be in it because it was so like comical. And I love that sort of thing. So yeah, good week so far. My game week is 229k. My game week rank. So doing all right. How about you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Similar. I'm on 52 at the moment, which is pretty good. It's got me a small green arrow up to 46k. So just, nice. I just snuck into the top 50k, and I've also got 5 players left to play. I'm fairly confident that green will remain. I don't think there's really anybody else that can hurt me this game week apart from obviously Harry Kane, but the loss would be very, very minimal. I think I lost like 1.8 points or something from him scoring those 2 goals. So it's not gonna bring my rank down. I now own Son as well, so Son's not gonna hurt me. He could only help. So I don't think there's really anybody else that could massively hurt my rank. I think if Vardy went mad, that could possibly hurt. But yeah, so I've still got, I mean, Mendy didn't start for Chelsea last night. Very disappointing. Random. But so I've got Fraser Forster, who will come off the bench, who's playing against Spurs. So maybe some points there potentially. I've also got Ruben Diaz to play. And if Ruben Diaz is benched again, then Connor Cody's 7 points will come off the bench. So that'll be nice. So I don't really mind if Diaz doesn't play. TAA with another good haul, 8 points from him. And obviously if Liverpool, I mean, I was very glad Liverpool didn't keep a clean sheet too, but if he had, that would have been a nice 12 pointer from him. But yeah, he's still coming up with the goods so far. And I've also got Golonzo, who, Chelsea were just obviously just so distracted by the Super League, weren't they?
Yeah.
And whether they'd be involved or not. I mean, it was a dreadful game. I stopped watching at half time, and then Alonso came off, I think, on 65 minutes or something and banked his clean sheet. So quite happy with that.
Happy days.
I brought Son in for Kevin De Bruyne, as was the plan, and obviously Spurs didn't do much against Everton. Saka as well with 2 points for Arsenal. Lingard with 7. Salah obviously didn't play, came on, got 1 point, annoyingly. Richarlison, I feel like if anybody's due a goal, it's Richarlison. I mean, the last few games, he's had so many chances, hasn't he? I thought, how has he not scored against Spurs? He missed that open goal as well, didn't he? I just think he's one of those players where it's like, there's goals coming. And so I'm happy to keep him in for now. And I think all this Super League stuff might give those clubs that weren't going to be a part of it a big boost. So fingers crossed.
I think so.
You know,
I think they've kind of got like a bit of a, you know, they know they've done right and they can kind of feel supported by their club a little bit, if you know what I mean. They're on the side of good and righteousness and that sort of thing. I don't want to sound like a comic book, but, you know, Everton are the superheroes at the moment. So, you know, we can do well with this running at the end of the season. And the teams we've got, you know, we could get some points as well. You know, Arsenal on Friday, then we've got Villa, Sheffield United. Still got to play a few teams who, you know, can concede goals, so I wouldn't be getting rid of Richarlison or Calvert-Lewin at any point yet.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely keeping Richarlison for now, and I think he's such a massive differential as well that if he does go off, it could really improve my rank. And there's no other striker that I think, oh God, I have to get them in. I'm pretty happy to keep him. Kelechi Iheanacho is still to play, obviously against West Brom, and Captain Kane who plays. Tonight, Spurs play tonight, don't they, against Southampton?
Yeah.
Up to 46k, and I'm pretty confident that arrow will stay green. So, which will be my 5th green arrow in a row. So, nice. Really, really pleased with how things are going. I'm a little bit concerned about the blank coming up though, which we'll talk about. But Ben, what about you? How are you getting on before we discuss Ryan Mason and Spurs?
So 1.5 million overall, and I've been treading water for the last few weeks. I played my wild card about 2 weeks before everybody else, and I jumped 500,000 places. But 1.5 million, This week, 44 points, but minus 8, so 36 at the moment, which isn't great. But I'm actually feeling really positive because I've still got 7 to play. And the transfers I made, I think this is a good example of when it is a good idea to take a hit. And actually, Luke, on our WhatsApp group, you gave me the confidence to do it. Because I took out Kevin De Bruyne, who has got a triangle at the moment and might not play against Villa tonight. I took out Calvert-Lewin, who obviously didn't play. And I also took out Smith Rowe, and he got 2 points for Arsenal. The players I bought in for that minus 8 were Son, obviously he had the double game week, and I love Spurs fixtures. I love them. Obviously, they got the blank, but I've still got my free hit and a bench boost, actually. So I feel like it could be a decent little end to the season. But I also bought in Lingard, obviously scored 7, and I bought in Iheanacho because I think just the stats and the price, unbelievable. I can't wait to see what he does at home against West Brom. Is it tomorrow they're playing? It is tomorrow, isn't it? So yeah, 44 yeah. minus 8 so far, but I do feel good about it. I think I want Lingard to the end of the season. Again, their fixtures are pretty tasty. A couple of difficult ones. They've got Chelsea and they're also FPL saying that Everton at home is going to be a difficult game for West Ham. I'm not sure that will be for West Ham. I think West Ham are going to finish top 4, actually, in terms of how they've been playing and where they are right now with the fixtures they've got. I think, yeah, Jesse Lingard is unfortunate. J-Lings, sorry, or Messi Lingard. Rich is now doing the sign. I think you've got to have him in. So, I'm quite happy with the transfers I made.
I mean, the thing with players like Lingard and Iheanacho now is knowing when to get off. So, yeah. I got Lingard in way back in blank game week 29, was it? Whenever that blank was, that's when I brought Lingard in before he hauled against Arsenal. Feels like a long time ago. It actually wasn't that long ago. And really made the most. I think he had about 20 or 30% effective ownership at that point. So I was really benefiting from his hauls. Now, I'm not really benefiting at all from his hauls because he's owned by so many players around that rank, obviously, because he's been doing so well. So it then now becomes a defensive move to keep Lingard because everybody else owns him. So,
well, he's 30.1% selected
overall, yes, but around my rank, it's like 85%. Yeah. So really, if he scores, I gain about 1 or 2 points, which, you know, so really what I have to do now, same with Iheanacho, he's now up to about 75, 80% effective ownership around my rank.
17 for normos like me.
Right. So, you know, I think that's where I have to look and go, right, okay, let's look at the stats. Is it likely that Lingard is going to carry on this form? Or is there somebody else coming up that I can bring in and potentially make more points? That's what I've done with Bruno Fernandes over the last few game weeks. And it has worked because, I mean, despite the fact I haven't brought anybody in that's necessarily scored more points than him, but not having Bruno Fernandes has been absolutely fine because he's blanked it since in the last 2 weeks since I took him out. So for me, it's just keeping an eye on these players that have suddenly shot up to see, can I get another differential in there? Because at the moment, my differentials have gone right down. Lingard and Iheanacho were, but they're obviously not anymore. Trent Alexander-Arnold was a differential. He's not anymore. Although I'm still gaining good points from him because he's not hugely owned. It's just about, for me, keeping an eye on it and not just sticking with a player just because they're scoring goals. I'm going to look at the stats of Lingard and go, is there anyone else? Or is he going to taper off a little bit? It's a risk, you know, and I'm not saying I'm going to take him out of my team, but it's just worth keeping an eye on. Same with Iheanacho. Is there somebody else coming up? Is he dropping off? I mean, I don't think he is dropping off. So you've got to keep him.
Fixtures are great as well.
Yeah, you've got to keep him.
They've got great fixtures. Until the last three, when they play the big Super Six teams, they've got a really nice run, Leicester. Obviously, they're playing this week, but you know, if you bring him in this week, you've got three lovely weeks with Iheanacho.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
So Spurs then, let's talk Spurs. So Mourinho's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. I mean, I wish he was still there because Spurs have been absolutely awful. But Spurs fans, rejoice. You've got your club back-ish, you know. I know.
It's a slightly different kind of reason to hate Spurs now.
Yeah.
Rather than the Mourinho being there.
I know how toxic that man is, and I know how much you've suffered. So congratulations. He's finally gone.
But, did you see the Sky Sports News report where he was outside his house and the reporter came up to him with the microphone on a stick and Jose was like unpacking all of his pictures of him like holding the Champions League and the Premier League and stuff, and he's like, nice picture, eh? Literally moving out. Oh, I got it. Jose's a character, but I think his days of being like a top level Premier League manager are done. I seen a rumour last night before I went to bed that he's gonna go to Celtic.
Yeah, I saw this.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Can you imagine Jose at Celtic? It's just a payday for him. Jose, just have a few years off and then come back and manage Leicester or West Ham or something like that, and you know, like what Pellegrini done for Manchester City, do that, you know,
and run them into the ground as well.
Exactly, do that, Jose. Just don't come to Everton, please, God.
Yeah, so Ryan Mason is taking over for the last few games of the season, and obviously, I remember when Mourinho left United and Ole came in, or did Ole come in straight away? I can't remember. I think he did. But we got a huge new manager bounce, and suddenly we were playing attacking, free flowing football, scoring goals. Surely that's going to be Ryan Mason's aim, isn't it? To bring that attacking football back.
Yeah, it will be his aim. But this blows my mind. Ryan Mason is my age.
Yeah,
he's 29 and he's the manager of Tottenham Hotspur. It's crazy. I mean, fair play to him. You know, former Premier League footballer, he probably knows a little bit more about football than me. Although I have got Everton to fourth place in the Premier League on my Football Manager, with Moyes Keane starting up front. And I don't know. It's going to be such a strange end to the season, because obviously they're playing for this competition, which the owners, I don't know, don't seem interested in now on paper. But I guess the players still do, so that's the important thing. But it's all about where the mentality of the players are going to be, because obviously they're playing for a club who obviously don't have their players or their fans' best interest at heart. So I honestly don't know what this bounce is going to be. But the good teams do tend to get a new manager bounce because the quality of the players shines at the end of the day. Like these teams down the bottom end of the Premier League, they don't always get it because their players aren't up to the standard. But you know, Tottenham is just full of international footballers. So you'd think that they would get some kind of a new manager bounce.
Yeah, it'll be interesting tonight, won't it, to see if that happens straight away. Because obviously, all of this stuff has only just been coming out. So again, we saw what happened last night in the Chelsea game. Perhaps it's still going to be a bit of a hangover from that, and there'll be distractions. But if there's any game to get back on track with a new manager, it's Southampton at home, isn't it? I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Kane might not be fit. So if Kane's not fit, but expect Gareth Bale to start tonight. I mean, really expect Gareth Bale to start tonight, because there's no way that Ryan Mason won't play Gareth Bale. He knows what the fans want. All it will be now is endearing himself to the fans for the rest of the season. And who knows, maybe in his head he's dreaming of, you know, being the permanent manager like Solskjaer has done at United, you know, like Lampard. It happened for Lampard at Chelsea as well, didn't it? Although he's so young, in his head, that's what he'll be dreaming of. So all it will be now, it will be, can I get the fans on side? Very, very easy to do, one, because Mourinho's not there anymore. So anything Spurs do now, it's not going to be Ryan Mason's fault. So he's got nothing to lose, has he?
No.
Even if they lost their last five games, that's not his, you know, he's not going to go down as, you know, they're not going to turn against him. So I think
not at all.
What he might as well do is go all out attack, get some free flowing football, get Son, Kane and Bale on the same pitch, you know, and attack. And you know, that could only be good for FPL. Suddenly Gareth Bale is an option again, for sure. I wouldn't bring him in straight away, but see what happens tonight. You got to keep Son, really, if you can bench him next week. Obviously, we've all got Kane, so we need to keep an eye on his injury. But I guess my question is, what are you going to do with them next week? So we've all got Son and Kane, haven't we? Now, my original plan was to get rid of Son, because obviously Spurs blank in 33. Now with Kane injured, really, I might have to get rid of Kane instead of Son, because if he's injured and he's not playing in blank game week 33, you kind of got to get rid of him, haven't you? But then there's this new manager bounce and Spurs have got good fixtures. Are you then going to want to bring Son and Kane back? What's your plan going to be? Because at the moment, I've got three on the bench. I've got Diaz, Son, Kane and Forster all on the bench for next week and they all blank and I need cover. So I'm going to have to get rid of one of them.
Yeah. Are you not against taking a hit? Would you take a hit to get rid of them?
I think if I knew that I really needed the bench players for next week, then I wouldn't be against taking a hit. No, because, I mean, my problem is, I mean, this brings us on to blank game week 33. My problem is I've got Alonso in my team and Chelsea have got West Ham. Alonso's very, very unlikely to start that game. I've got Mendy, who isn't playing at the moment for Chelsea. I've got Ruben Diaz, who might get rotated for City. And I've got Mo Salah, who's getting rotated for Liverpool. There's loads of players in my team here. I've got Nat Phillips, who's injured. There's loads of players here that I might end up with seven or eight players for blank game week 33, which I did not envisage. So yes, I am. I think I will need to take a hit or two just to give myself the confidence that I'm going to get 11 players.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, I'm looking at the fixtures that are in game week 33 and there's no fixtures that are like properly stand out for me where there's going to be loads of goals. Possibly Leeds v Man United. Like before all this Super League stuff kicked off, I thought there would have been probably a lot of goals in that game.
I don't know. I can see Liverpool smashing Newcastle. Early
could you though? But Newcastle have just beaten West Ham, who are up in the European places, and you know they've got a bit of a battle on still. Newcastle, they're not properly safe from relegation just yet, and I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be loading my team full of Newcastle players. Like that's not going to be happening. I'm not going to be bringing in Isaac Hayden. I don't know why I used the first Newcastle player to pop into my head, but he's not going to be coming in. I don't know, maybe Wolves. Wolves have looked okay over the last few weeks, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know,
Leicester
that could
have
be...
got Crystal Palace. That's quite tasty. And of course, you know, we have got the derby, Villa West Brom, which will be a tasty game.
Yeah. What do you reckon will happen when Villa v West Brom? Because West Brom have been, you know, they've pulled out a few results over the past few weeks.
I think we're going to spank them.
Spank them?
No, I actually don't. I'm just trying to pull up the head-to-head.
Well, I mean, historically, yous have always been a more successful team than West Brom, especially in the Premier League era, as far as I can remember. So, you know, I guess the question is, you know, is Grealish going to be back before?
No, so the latest rumour on Grealish is that he's already been sold to one of these super European six clubs. And that they've basically, because he gets chopped down so much, and look, you know, there's always rumours surrounding Jack Grealish, but because he gets chopped down so much, part of the deal is that he doesn't play the rest of the season.
What about the Euros?
I don't know.
That can't be right. That's ridiculous. Well, hopefully he's coming to United.
All right, sound. But yeah. Wait,
what are you doing, Rich?
I got to, like I said at the start of the podcast, I've really not given any thought into my FPL team whatsoever. Like, I've just been so, like, emotionally distracted from everything that's been going on in football. I've got to prep for this game tonight. Like, I should have done this prep yesterday, so I need to get onto this today. But I don't know. I mean, I've got three Spurs players, so I'm not going to get rid of all of them because I've only got one free transfer and I'm not going to take a -8. I think one's going to have to sit on my bench. And to be honest, I'd probably need to free up funds. So Harry Kane might be the one who goes, although I'll probably want to get him straight back in if he's fit. That's the problem. So I don't know is the question. But I think, you know, I'm going to have to keep at least one of them on my bench, which is a shame. But, you know, I think you've just got to try and get as many players playing at the moment, because getting as many points at this point of the season is paramount.
Yeah, we've got to keep an eye on these injuries, wait for press conferences, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, easiest move for me really will be to get rid of Ruben Diaz, bring Luke Shaw in or somebody like that. Luke Shaw was back to creating lots of chances against Burnley. I think he created six chances in that game, which is obviously really good numbers. United can't seem to keep clean sheets still, but you know, they've got decent fixtures and trying to cement second place. So I could bring in someone like Luke Shaw for Ruben Dias, especially as Ruben Dias just isn't even guaranteed his place in that City lineup anymore. It seems a bit silly to keep him in. Andy blanks. So that would be easy. And then I've got Son and Kane still on the bench. So I could take a -4 to get rid of one of them, depending on Kane's injury news. And then I should be okay, really. I'd have, you know, 13 possible blank game week players. So if there was a bit of rotation, I'd at least have two on the bench that could potentially come in. So I think a -4 is probably going to be the way that I go to get rid of Ruben Dias and one of Son or Kane. But then, you know, Spurs might do a madness tonight and Son might score a hat trick. And then you think, well, I can't get rid of him now. But then I suppose you can bring him straight back in and all of that kind of stuff. But it's a very easy move for me to move Son to Bruno Fernandes. I've got money in the bank to do that. Ruben Dias to Luke Shaw or something along those lines. United play Leeds. Leeds have tightened it up, actually, haven't they, at the back? And they're playing pretty well against the big team. So I wouldn't be surprised if they got a result against United. But we all know what happened last time.
But so, yeah, goals.
There could be huge amounts of goals there, couldn't they? I mean, Leicester have got Crystal Palace, which is a great fixture for them at home. If James Maddison's back, could potentially bring James Maddison into the team.
I've got a feeling that Leicester are going to be distracted by the FA Cup final. I think they're going to be focused on that, and that's all they're going to focus on. So I'm a little bit maybe wary of Leicester City assets at the moment. Although you can't ignore Iheanacho at the moment, which
that's
something I never thought I'd say.
But again, Leicester are one of those teams, aren't they? Like, yeah, I know. Yeah, that is. It's funny, isn't it, how that's happened? But Leicester are one of those teams, aren't they? Where like them, West Ham, Everton. They've not been involved in the European Super League. They are, you know, the darlings of English football at the moment. Is that going to give them a real boost to go out there and go, right, now we really have got the Champions League to play for. Let's give the fans a brilliant end to the season. You know, after all of this horrible stuff going on, it's like, right, can we pick it up now and really perform? So I'd be excited at Leicester assets, West Ham assets, maybe even Everton assets. You know, so I think there's plenty still to play for with those teams, isn't there?
Ben, are you chopping and changing your team right there on your whiteboard? Have you got your big whiteboard up?
So I've got a decision to make. And the question is this the last opportunity to play a free hit, or is there going to be another opportunity? Because I think that taking a -4, I could probably field 11 players. I say probably because it depends on Nat Phillips from Liverpool, if he's fit or not. But right. I could take out Rafinha, who's got a triangle, and Antonio, and for a -4, replace them with Jota and Bamford, both of whom have decent fixtures for the rest of the season. Or do I just go pull the free hit trigger, and or am I, will there be another opportunity? Like, is there any teams left with doubles or anything like that coming up?
Aren't the doubles probably going to dry up now because all the cup games are sorted out, because there's going to be no more knockouts or anything like that?
What are the latest permutations? I mean, I'd hardly go on Twitter now, so I haven't kept up with it, but I guess Ben Krellin's the man to just look at, just in case, because there were hints of double game weeks remaining. I think Everton were due one, Aston Villa are still due a double at some point. And there was talk of a huge double game week 37 at one stage, you know, with fans being allowed back in the grounds and stuff. Yeah, there was talk of it, but I don't really know what the latest is. So I guess Ben Krellin's the man to look at to see if you can hold off on that free hit or not.
You know what? I might hold off on it just because I've got a decent team anyway in terms of who they're playing. I mean, I'm quite happy to play Martinez and Konza against West Brom for the Villa. Trent Alexander-Arnold against Newcastle, Dallas against United. I can see Dallas scoring in that game, actually. You know, Maddison, Crystal Palace, Fernandes against Leeds, Lingard against Chelsea, Iheanacho against Crystal. I think I'm going to hold off on it, actually. It's annoying, though, because I've been thinking for ages I'm going to play it now. But actually, how frustrating would it be if, like, an amazing double game week was announced?
Double game week came up, yeah. But I don't understand how there'd be a big game week 37, because
I think it was
all the knockout competitions would have been dealt with.
It was.
With
I know exactly what you mean. They were talking about it exactly because of fans.
It was something to do with fans being allowed back in the stadiums. That was why. So that would cause is because they would have to wait I can't remember. I can't remember what it was, but it was to do with
It's something to do with that 17th of May date, I think.
Yes, that's it.
And it was something to do with that step out of lockdown. And obviously they're doing the trials, aren't they, with the FA Cup. Is it the FA Cup they're doing it with?
Yeah, the Wembley. Leicester had fans.
Yeah, then there's loads of neutral fans as well. They looked so awkward from like the Brent Borough or whatever it was around Wembley. Just there, like, you were watching Leicester versus whoever the hell they were playing, Southampton.
Yeah, I'm going to do... I mean, would you say that... I think Jota and Bamford are pretty decent picks, aren't they?
I mean, I think if you were to free hit this week, you'd put all your eggs in several baskets, wouldn't you? I think you'd go...
Liverpool, Villa and Leicester.
Exactly.
Essentially Wolves.
Exactly. You'd probably go double Villa defence, double Leicester defence... or double Liverpool defence against Newcastle, and then you'd have, you know, you'd probably have Vardy, Iheanacho, and Maddison against Crystal Palace.
Yeah,
and you'd probably stick in a couple of United players, maybe Mason Greenwood, who is on fire at the moment, and a real option.
Greenwood.
I think I'd definitely consider putting Greenwood in over Fernandez at the moment. He's having a real strong end to the season, so I'm going to consider that for next week.
And is Greenwood going? Do you reckon it's going to be Greenwood's going to start most Premier League games, and Cavani will probably start the Europa League games?
No, I think they'll both start. I think Greenwood's been playing off the right, Cavani down the middle, and Rashford off the left.
Right,
or
Martial's out still, isn't he?
Yeah, Martial's out. Obviously, there is a risk with Greenwood that he gets rotated. There is still a bit of rotation going on there, for some reason, Ollie likes to rotate Greenwood and he doesn't rotate Rashford and Fernandez. And really, it's like, Ollie, come on, just trust in your other players and give Rashford and Bruno a rest. Obviously, I don't want that in terms of people that own Bruno FPL wise, but I think it would do him really good just to have a rest. And then he can come back even fresher and get his form back on track. He's still been playing really well. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, that dummy for Mason Greenwood's goal against Burnley was superb.
Did he not get the assist for that?
No, he didn't touch it. So that's what I mean. So at the moment, Fernandez is the assist of the assister. He's not getting the points. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before he does. You know, he's still playing well, but he needs a rest.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just your best player. I mean, I'm convinced that's still why Solskjaer's doing so well, because all he has to do is play Fernandes, and then Manchester United will get the win. I'm convinced that's what it is.
I think on his day, Paul Pogba's the best footballer at Manchester United. On his day,
yes, when he can be asked.
I don't think it's a laziness thing. No, I don't think it's that at all. But he's a bit inconsistent. But obviously, Bruno's the most important in terms of his numbers and his returns. But when Pogba's on it, I mean, he's such a good footballer, isn't he? He's an incredible footballer.
The amount of grief he gets, he's a top player. He's won the World Cup. People forget that. You know, he's a brilliant footballer. Anyway, sorry, go on, Ben.
Would you, at this point in the season then, pick Jota or Mason Greenwood? Just as 0.1 difference in terms of their price. Jota's 7, Greenwood 7.1. Jota is 17% selected. Greenwood is 3% selected. Liverpool's fixtures are Newcastle United, Southampton, West Brom, Burnley and Crystal Palace. Man United's fixtures are Leeds, Liverpool, Villa, Leicester, Fulham, Wolves.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I'd have them both.
Liverpool are out of all cup competitions now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
So
Manchester United still got the Europa League to focus on.
Is Jota going to start every game from now to the end of the season?
His minutes. So against Leeds, he played 80 minutes. Against Villa, 90. Against Arsenal, 29. Against Wolves, 81. Against Fulham, 90. 28. None. So he is in and out, but then so is Greenwood.
Yeah.
In terms of his minutes.
I like when a striker gets on goal scoring form, like that's it. They go on for it. Look at Iheanacho at the moment. He's been awful all season. He's not got a sniff, and now he's got his chance. He's banging goals in. So I'd probably go Greenwood. I'd probably go Greenwood over Jota. Although maybe Jota's ceiling's a bit higher. maybe, than Greenwood. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I'd go Greenwood over Jota as well right now. If you can get them both.
Ooh. Yeah, I think I'm going to do both. I've got one transfer, and it might well be Kane out for Greenwood. Oh, God, I don't know what to do.
Greenwood's a midfielder, obviously. Remember?
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't picked him this season. All right, well, Son it is. Easier choice.
it's an interesting one to ponder there for you, Ben. So transfers and captains for blank game week 33.
Well, yeah, transfers. Greenwood's coming in, and now I know he's a midfielder. It's probably for Son, not Harry Kane. Can you tell I've just not looked at FPL over the last few days? Jesus. Captain, I'm not quite sure, got to be perfectly honest with you. I'd probably say Salah, but is he going to play? Didn't start the other night, did he? So, I don't know. Maybe I'd captain Salah, but then I need to put my vice-captain on someone who's guaranteed to start. Maybe like Lingard, something like that, even though they're playing Chelsea. I don't know. I need to think.
I'm thinking... I'm not sure about my transfers yet, but whatever happens, if I free hit or not, I'm definitely keeping Trent Alexander-Arnold in my team, and I'm keeping Iheanacho. And actually, it's between those two for the captain's armband. Trent against Newcastle, he's got attacking form at the moment. His last few games, 8, 11, 12, 9. He's on one.
Yeah.
I very rarely captain a defender, but it might be TAA's turn.
Yeah, and I keep seeing his advert on TV where he's got this thing which relaxes your muscles. It kind of looks like a drill. But you like put it into your biceps and it relaxes your muscles.
I've got one of
those. So it's obviously working. Have you? Are they expensive?
Yeah, I mean, I've used it once, but yeah. I should use it more, really. But yeah, they are good. They are good. I don't think that's a bad shout. I mean, Newcastle are pretty much safe now, aren't they? I mean, they got that win against West Ham. They got the win against Burnley. You know, it's at Anfield. I think it's not a bad shout. I think for me...
At their core, they're still rubbish.
Yes, exactly. And Liverpool, of course, fighting for the Champions League now, still.
Which they really want to be in.
Yeah, apparently. So, yeah, I'm thinking, as I said earlier, I'm thinking I may take a -4 depending on injuries. Diaz will probably come out, and one of Son or Kane will come out as well. And I discussed who I might bring in there. Likely to be Greenwood or Fernandez. And for Diaz, it's likely to be Luke Shaw. Could be somebody else, though. Captain-wise, I'm thinking, either Salah or Iheanacho. Iheanacho, as I think Salah will be a more popular pick. I think Iheanacho.
Well, that's it. I mean,
we
were talking about that last month, weren't we? This point of the season is captain in a differential. So, yeah, maybe I'll move on to Lingard, actually, instead.
Yeah, Lingard against Chelsea, with Chelsea's defensive record.
Yeah. I've just woken up. All right, so I guess we call it that. I feel like I've been a bit of a therapy session today, getting all my European Super League thoughts out onto the podcast, which has been very nice. So thanks for listening to me. Anything left to say? Don't know if there is.
Give us a rating, give us a review.
Oh, we had one,
Apple
Podcasts,
didn't we? If you're
we had
on
one
there.
Recently, Ben. Can you read it out?
We did.
It was a very nice one.
It was a really nice one.
Oh, 5 stars.
Probably should apologise for not being on the last podcast, by the way.
It was a really good reason, wasn't it?
It was a great reason, a really professional reason. I was in the pub and forgot. It really was that bad, despite talking about it earlier in the day. So apologies for that.
Our review, by the way, is from Jay Hu, who says, "Football bloody mad, 5 stars. I love this podcast. It gives me top-notch tips and won me at least a tenner. And the banter is 11 out of 10. Highly recommend." Thank you very much.
Out of 10
if
banter.
You could do the same thing, if you like us and Triple Captain, then please do leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, because it basically helps more people to discover us, because Apple go, "Oh, people like this," and promote us more. Please also just share this podcast with a friend. You can do that by clicking the little share button within your podcast app. You can send it to them on WhatsApp. You can tweet it. You can put it on Instagram. Just share it, please. We want more people to hear us ranting on about the European Super League. but we won't do that anymore. But, you know, no. In general.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where we are next week.
Yeah. Announcement over. Yeah. Bing bong.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, best of luck, everybody, into game week 33. Oh, my God, the end of the season is in sight. Best of luck.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Newsjacking with Dan and Katie.
Hello, my name's Dan.
Hiya, I'm Katie.
And we are back with our brand new podcast, Newsjacking. Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're going with, yeah. Not to be mistaken for news jerking.
No, we did talk about news jerking, didn't we?
Posh Ben, the producer, can you confirm the name of our podcast? Is it Newsjacking or News Jerking?
No, we're going Newsjacking.
Okay. Better cancel those t-shirts I got ordered then.
We should probably explain what newsjacking is.
Yeah, what is newsjacking anyway?
Siri, what's newsjacking?
Newsjacking. The practice of taking advantage of current events or news stories as a way of promoting or advertising your own product or brand.
So essentially what you're saying is we're talking about other people's news as a way of drawing attention to our own new podcast.
Basically, yeah. It's shameless, but I'm hoping it will be effective.
So that's News Jerking with Dan and Katie. It's going to be started...
Jacking.
That's News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Yeah. You can find us now in your podcast app.
News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Dan and Katie.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.